If you happen to be in Bethlehem in the next few weeks, we encourage you to keep an eye out for a local holiday phenomenon known as the dancing shopping carts. Yes, you're right, you heard correctly. There seems to be a bunch of shopping carts who joyously herald the Christmas season in the Christmas City by performing a ballet. Now, if you spot the carts, the Pajama Sisters and their song and dance can't be far off, and the old guy's probably crafting his funny message for the new year. It all comes to life as Touchstone Theater presents the Christmas City Follies 15, with side-splitting humor, heartwarming sentiment, quirky characters, and a featured spot in every show for special community guests to share their own holiday joy. This is WDIY 88.1 Allentown, Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle, and I'm chatting today with Touchstone's own Bill George as we journey into the holiday season and its fabulous follies. Welcome,
hey,
Bill.
Hey, thanks for having us, Kate.
Oh, it's good to have you. Yeah. So you're going into, I think, Tech Week for the Follies.
Yeah, actually, it's Tech today. We were running through the finale, like, again and again and again for a quick change. And then we were running out of time. Oh, we got to get over to WDIY. Can't be late. Yeah. And then I got to go back and we got to do a run tonight. Yeah, it's a really crazy time right now.
How did the Follies start? I mean, this is it's an interesting holiday tradition, unlike so many of the things we might take our kids to every year or films we watch over and over. This is something that's a tradition, but that changes every time.
Yeah, yeah. It's a, I think the genius of Mark McKenna has to be acknowledged. Like about 19 years ago or something like that, he had this concept of a vaudeville show. And they hammered it out the first year. There were only three performances. There was a performance at the Ice House, and then there was a band. You know, the first couple of years, we didn't do it every year, and it slowly took its shape. And I think about the third one, I started performing. And JP got a hold of it about 7-8 years ago, and it's really taken the form that it is now, with these reoccurring characters, quite often a plot that carries through, a subplot, and a lot of these crazy off-the-wall comedy numbers and songs in between.
It's wonderful. It is very much a vaudeville. You know, even now, I mean, that's interesting, and it's become very much its own vaudeville. So the characters, talk about some of the characters for an audience member that hasn't been their favorites and how they've ended up revisiting every year.
Yeah, well, the Pajama Sisters, I think that we saw this 1920s black and white video of these women in pajamas, but they were like full, like they were about as revealing as, you know, some sort of khaki suit or something like that, and they were tossing up these little scarves and juggling, and it was supposed to be very erotic. It was about as erotic as a cat playing with catnip, but you know it gave us the idea of Pajama Sisters, onesies, silly, but songs. And then over a period of time, you know, they just, women's voices singing is, you know, so sometimes it goes serious. Sometimes it's 1940s, you know, Hollywood numbers. Sometimes it's more pop. That's the Pajama Sisters. I think with the old guy, I ripped my character off from something I'd seen Mark do. Mark had done this clown, which is really dark, dark clown, and had a very rough voice, and I copied that and then kind of made it my own. I remember the first scene I did, I was working with my daughter. She was 16. I put her in a bag. It's again, like, I don't think I've had an original idea. I stole that from Ronlin Foreman. I brought her in and threw her out. She didn't speak, and all the character grew out of the relationship I had with my daughter, and how she kind of is underneath and destroying me, you know, the authority. And the character was very dark in the beginning, a kind of Armageddon clown, a kind of seeing the darkness, you know, which is such a part of the holiday, right? You know, just not the light. And but more and more, he's become just like this sweet, grumpy kind of you know, he's not quite as apocalyptic. And all the characters go through stages and developments. You know, there's Little Red, which is Mary Wright's character. I don't, you know, she'd have to be here to tell you where that came from. But, you know, it changes from year to year because we grow and change. And yet, and that's kind of part of the fun, you know, of, you know, the, I mean, I've worked with one character for 15 years.
Right.
15 years, you know, it doesn't stay the same. You know, today's my birthday. I turned 64.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, weird. And, you know, so I was like in my early 50s when I started doing this thing, even my late 40s. That's very different.
That's interesting because coming as an audience member, I would have to say, you're right, if someone like Little Red joins you on stage, there's a sense of recognition.
Yeah.
But it's also the adventure each year of where Little Red is this year.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Where the old guy's at.
I think this is one of the things that an ensemble theater where you're living here and you're working here, like WDIY, the art actually becomes built into the fabric of the institution itself. Mm-hmm. And the institution becomes part of the community. You know, just in this year, the old guy, I hope I won't be giving too much away, he's going to quit. And he's going to quit. He's had it. He's had it. It just, you know, just keeps repeating itself. And like, so what's the point? So, and Little Red comes across his cart. And like, there are little things in that cart that have been there for 15 years, like little baby Jesus. And,
right. And
you know, when she touches them, I'm like, what are you doing touching my stuff? I mean, it's really... The things themselves take on a certain hallowedness. Like, for instance, the ornaments on your tree, you know, you bring them out every year and they begin to resonate with the memories.
That's interesting. We were talking a little bit earlier about things like the quilt. I know, again, when I come in as an audience member, part of that show for me is coming into a room that I know.
Yeah.
There's the quilt. There's the Little Red, the characters. How did the quilt come about? The beautiful backdrop.
It's like everything is connected to everything else, you know, and that's what happens when you live together. The connection goes back to Ronald Foreman, you know, who, like I said, that I stole a particular idea from him. He's a wonderful clown, you know, really one of the best in the country. And he came and he did a show called Fool and Angels. And to a certain degree, that was a precursor to Follies. And it had a quilt curtain. Jeanette McDonald, who was our managing director, saw that and loved it so much. She and some friends sewed the one that we have now. So,
wow.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, it's the whole backdrop of the show. It's a curtain.
Yeah.
It's the stage curtain.
Yeah.
Very homey.
Yeah, the feeling. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And the red noses, so that makes sense then. It goes, there's the vaudeville influence, there's the clowning, there's the community and family kind of weaving through, and these characters kind of growing with us and moving along.
Mm-hmm.
What? How do you know when something sticks or when you guys get together to build the new, the 2014 version?
Yeah.
What's that like, working within the context of those characters, coming up with new ones?
Well, there's a physics to it. There's a science to it. And but you have to really experience it to understand what's going on. I mean, in the beginning, JP says, you know, throw out any ideas you want. I mean, we know what we want to do, right? It's a family show. It's not too religious, okay, but it has a sense of the sacred. It's supposed to be fun. You know, these are some basics. And then we just brainstorm, you know, 150, 250 ideas, anything, even a part of an idea, a movement, it doesn't matter. And then there's a process. That's a lot of fun, you know. You don't know what the show's going to become. And then over a period of time, the ideas that you're most attracted to move forward. And there's this gleaning. And then ideas begin to form, connect to each other. And then JP basically says, ah, this is the shape that it's taking. Mm-hmm. And then that's the hard part right there. Like, you're not at a show, and you're past the, like, fun, easy part. And you just work as hard as you can to make it work.
Interesting. Yeah. And do you... I'm curious, there's always a bit, without being heavy-handed, enough local reference, enough local sensibility to the piece. Mm. Is that something you're aware of as you go along, sifting and gleaning and building, or is that just inevitable?
Yeah. Well, one of the things I like to do is just feel about you know, what's it like. I mean, and some, you know, when we went through the terrible real estate situation, I mean, it was... dark, or when we were, you know, when they started doing the star all night, there's a kind of a, what's it called, zeitgeist or gestalt, you know, yeah, which is in the community itself. Yeah. And my desire is to somehow puncture that if we can. And the old guy really spends a lot of time trying to do that. So, but I made it more personal this time around.
For the old guy himself.
His quitting is, you know, because has to do a lot with just from when I first started with my daughter, I've gone through 9 or 10 co-partners, and they're all gone. They just keep going.
Oh.
And there's a sense, there's, you know, that's really a part of Christmas, too. You know, those people you've left behind. And
it's interesting because you say the old guy's become something of a... of the gentler curmudgeon, but he always does have that shadow for me. There's something really, and sad would be the way I'd describe it. I think we'll be talking a little bit more about some surprises, though, too, and some things we're adding in this year when we come back. We'll be back to talk with Bill George from Touchstone Theater about the Christmas City Follies right here on Lehigh Valley Arts Salon.
This is Renee Montaigne, host of NPR's Morning Edition, here to congratulate WDIY on 20 years on the air. WDIY is where the Lehigh Valley tunes in to listen to NPR News, locally produced public affairs programs, and hand-picked music. Help WDIY become a first-time donor or make an additional gift during this holiday season. Give online at WDIY.org and help WDIY celebrate another 20 years.
This is WDIY and Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. Kate Scuffelin tonight, along with Bill George, birthday boy. Happy birthday, yay, Bill, yay, to you. Happy birthday.
Welcome back. And we were talking a little bit about, again, and talking about the old guy, one of the characters in Touchstone's Christmas City Follies, and that sense of harboring or of holding everything at the holidays is, whether it's sadness or loss, as well as growing older, memories. Living together. Shared lives.
I don't know what to say to that, Kate. I mean, I have a tendency to go for sadness and find that to a certain degree such an important part of joy. Mm-hmm. That this whole thing, you know, and JP's always on me like, lighten up, you know, pick it up. And I have this one song which nobody is going to hear because JP cut it, which is it's exactly about, you know, the promise of the light and that, you know, that mankind would be one, and that the lion with lay down with the lamb, and we're holding on, and that's part of the season, you know. In the dark you hold on, you know, waiting for the light to come back. That's part of what it means to be human, you know.
It's wonderful how you managed to pull off, I think, in the show, going from that, which I feel weaving through the show, to when it's funny, it's insanely funny.
I'll tell you who's insanely funny. is Joshua Neff. He's playing, you know, last year and the year before last, we were blessed with Kyle, who played the Kwanzaa Panther.
Yes.
And Kyle's he's no longer with us, and that's a sad thing. What are we going to do about the Kwanzaa Panther? Now, you know, Kyle is black, and none of us in the cast are black, and we're feeling really helpless. So Josh, He's the Kwanzaa snow leopard. So, I mean, and he is the most ridiculous white dude trying to be black you have ever seen in your life. Hopefully he's not too offensive.
Well, I haven't quite recovered from the dinosaurs a few years back. Ballet.
That was fun, man.
Oh, my God. Or the panda. What was the panda?
Right.
It was surreal. It was,
Well, that's, I think a lot of credit goes to JP. He's got a great sense of humor and really pulls it out of everybody, his sense of joy. And, you know, I was just, we were in rehearsal today and I was looking over at Josh and Mary Wright and Emma Chong. Mm-hmm. And just this time of year, there's a sense of, wow, you know, we're going through this life together. What a ride.
It is a gift to the community. You know, it's interesting because we can see so many things that are traditions. Wonderful pieces, of course, things that are associated with the holidays, dance, stories we always tell, movies we love. But very little of it tends to be our own, a local story, in a way, which is from our own local company, our own artists.
Right. Well, I think that that's really an important thing that Touchstone provides, is a voice, a unique voice, which really has the Pennsylvania, American, Bethlehem flavor. I mean, if you loved wine, for instance, you appreciate the fact that the grape grows differently on different hillsides. You don't want to get the generic, like a, you know, whatever. You want something that has the flavor of the land with it. And when it comes to theater, you want to have that cult. You want to have a. I think it's great to have authentic theater art, which grows out of the people, grows out of the culture. And in the process, it's more than just a taste. It's more than just the flavor of it. It's also the meaning. Mm-hmm. It feeds our souls. It feeds our need for each other and for the desire to understand the mystery of just getting by from day to day in this wild existence. So I think that, you know, Follies is just an entertainment piece. We do not have any pretensions of art in this piece. But at the same time, I think it serves a really important need for us to have a feeling of community, place, not just consumers.
Well, there's even a spot built into every performance where you're literally a local personality, a supporter, someone from the community joins you on stage.
Oh, yeah.
Showcasing. Yeah. And is that going to be a little different this year?
Well, it is the 15th.
Right.
Anniversary.
Right,
15th right, one. Right. 15th Folly.
So, event.
So we've arranged for people who've been in Follies over the last 15 years to be our special guests. So we're having Cora Hook back, who was in the first one. We're having Doug Roysden, who was in the one that we did at Arts Quest. We're having, you know, I just wish we could have John Callahan back. He was so great.
Was he?
He's more of a ham than any of us. He was wonderful. He could have been an actor.
No, I think it's when I actually have had the good fortune, or maybe the good fortune, to be one of the guests one year. It's a little terrifying, but you guys make it. It was all right at the end. It was
this year.
We were well carried.
This Christmas sheriff this year, you know, he's the one who's responsible for making sure everybody obeys all the rules and regulations around Christmas. He arrests the special guests, and then we try them for their Christmas misbehavior. Yeah, don't you dare buy your presents at the last minute. You're going straight to jail.
And Dave Fry, I was talking to Dave at the Lehigh Valley Christmas concert the other night. He'll be joining you for
this. Well, yeah, right? I mean, like, Dave is an institution unto himself.
Sure.
You know, the fact that he's going to be, every Saturday, Friday, Saturday night, singing in the cafe beforehand. I mean, he's a reason enough to come.
Exactly.
He's unbelievable entertainer, wit, musician, and a real brother. You know, he was in Touchstone for a long time as somebody else in this room that I remember. Neil. And
hello.
Yeah.
Touchstone alumni.
Yeah, and yeah, it's great to have Dave there. Yeah, it really makes the season.
And we should let people know. It's Thursday. Thursday, is it the 4th?
This
opening?
Thursday we open.
Right, so.
We're on Thursday, Friday, Saturday
it's
at
upon
8
us.
And Sunday at 2 o'clock. And get on down and see the show.
It runs through the 21st. You can find out more, of course, at touchstone.org. But it is, I mean, I would get tickets ahead of time, folks, because it fills up for a good reason.
Oh, definitely
it's,
the last
it's the
weekend.
Best party in town.
Yeah, definitely the last weekend, too, yeah. If you consider yourself really a Bethlehemite or a Lehigh Valleyan, if there is such a thing, you know, you really should not live without having seen it once.
Now, you haven't done it every single year.
Right.
Not crying. I mean, there's
right.
been gaps. There's
we
been
may
breaks.
Not do it next year. Mm. You know, we have to keep it fresh. And I love it. And I could go back to it again and again. But we may try something else next year. You know, we started with a piece for, if you're a real historian, Christmas Revels. Barbara Pearson and my wife, Bridget, wrote that. And were you in Christmas Revels?
I was around for that, yes.
Yeah,
were
you? Then that had to be changed to Make We Marry. There's talk about trying to get Barbara and Bridget to allow us to bring that back.
That could be fun.
Yes, very Renaissance-y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll need Bob Farringer.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bob's going to be a special guest.
But no pandas.
That'll
be hard. Well, we could talk more. We could talk all evening about because some of the best moments. We were talking about that earlier. But please, touchstonetheater.org, running December 4th to the 21st, Christmas City Follies 15, with some of your favorites returning as guest spots and being arrested right there before your own eyes. Don't miss it, especially since we might take a little break next year. Bill, thank you for taking time out.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a joy. And a Merry Christmas and a happy holiday to all, pandas included.
Thank you. Blessings.
This is Kate Scuffle for the High Valley Arts Salon.